man that I missed greatly in this conference, that's Brother Barnard. He and I have been on each other forever. And the last 20 years that we spent together, I told him, I said, now, Brother Barnard, if I die, you'll be ruined, because all knowledge would be put in the ground. But we were together in life, and we were not separated in death. You can call it what you will, but he's more real to me now than ever. Explain it. I'm not here to explain nothing. I'm here to proclaim. I rejoice greatly for the privilege and the honor of being one of the speakers. I belong to the old school. Takes me a long time to get started and a longer time to get stopped. The other day I started uptown and wife said, where are you going? Uptown, what for? I said, I don't know. The Holy Ghost said, go uptown. Go on, you old fool, you. I said, that's where I'm going. Get uptown, I saw a big colored man standing on a street corner. Straight as a gun there. And it wasn't empty either. I said, you look like a preacher. He said, I is. Well, I said, I is too. I said, now I want you to tell me how that you get across truth to your gang and make it stick. If a colored man ever really gets saved, my God, he gets in his eyes and his feet and tongue, and his feet go to walking, his tongue go to talking. He got all over him. I said, now, how do you do it? Well, I tell you how I does it. I tells him what is going to tell him. Second, he said, I tells him. And third, I tells him what done told him. Said, your gang ain't got much more sense than mine. You better follow that course. And I've tried it, and brethren, it works. This man Johnson pulls out of me everything that's in me. Everything that he's ever written since he started sending me his paper, I've read and reread. I stack them away. Now once in a while, I go back and pull out some of these writings of his that he wrote way back when he believed in angels. And I think he still does. And I enjoy it, and I appreciate him. I've been trying to get enough time to write him and tell him that I appreciate him, and don't wait till he dies and let his wife get to that. I want him to get it. Brother Johnson, I hope to write you pretty soon. You'll have to forgive me for not writing you. But I do appreciate, but never have sent him a dime of money to help him with expense, and I get under conviction about that thing. One of the missing notes in our ministry today is that of repentance. Men preach ordinarily what they've experienced. Brother Mahan said last night that you can't tell what you don't know in the morning, you can't come where you ain't been. And I agreed with him on that. I didn't make it right, but I agree. 4 years ago, we had almost a fatal heart attack. 21 days, flat on my back. I didn't know whether to stay or go. But got far enough out till I heard the water splashing and I heard the boatman coming. And nothing funny when you get down there, brethren. You can talk about the children in the furnace of fire, wonderful shout around, but when you face that for yourself, it's a different thing. And I said, Lord, looks like maybe I'll be up there with you pretty soon. And I began to reflect, wonder if I'd done anything that God could use, whether he'd pay me for anything I'd done. He said, I can only reward you what you've done in gold, silver, and precious stones. Even that has to be preached in the power of the Holy Ghost. I began to look at it, think about it. I said, Lord, if it pleases you, it would please me still a little while longer and do some more. And we got together on it, as far as I know. It's all right. Well, how much longer are you going to stay? That's with him. I'm glad of that, too. My medical doctor said, now, Mr. Caldwell, cut your sermons in two. I said, they're not the kind that I can cut in two. Said, a boy going fishing, took that red women, cut it in two. You don't have to put all on the hook. I said, doctor, you may know medicine and the beat of the heart, but you just don't know about this preaching. He said, well, I'm telling you how to stay here. I'm having a time of my life trying to get that down. I want to speak to you this morning, the Lord willing, on experiencing the gospel. Now, getting in your head is one thing, and getting in your heart is another. The Greek word for the word repentance is metanoia. From that we get mental. You repent with your brains, but you believe with your heart. And I want to talk to you about Christian experience or experiencing the gospel. There's three kinds of Calvinists. There's a dead Calvinist. And I run into some of them and bombed them as quick as I could. That's the only thing you can do with a dead man, just embalm him and bury him. Then there's the rotten Calvinist. I've run into some of them fellows. Rotten. Straight as a gun barrel and just as empty. Then there is the Calvinist on par with the gospel. Amen. Now that's the kind that I want to be. Amen. And that's the kind that I recommend to you. But it doesn't make any difference how much gospel you know. If you haven't experienced it, you can go to hell as a Calvinist, sure. Yes. Be so many Calvinists in hell, their feet will be sticking out the windows. And I never have wanted to go to hell. I never have wanted to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell now. And I'm doing everything in this Bible that I find me to do, try to stay out of hell. Or you must be an Arminian. I don't know what I am. I don't want to go to hell. But I find that God is so good that he fixed it so that all who want to go to hell, he fixed it so you can go there. You don't have to do a thing in the world and just keep going like you're going. I was in Asheville, North Carolina some time back, standing there reading the writing on a monument there. There was a big line. And the water was coming through that line mouth and pouring off in a pool. Colored man walked up and said, I can tell you something about that line you don't know. Well, I said, tell me. Said, you see that water pouring through his mouth? I said, yes. Said, it ain't tasting a bit of it. He didn't know I was a preacher, I don't reckon. He said, that's just like a lot of these preachers. They're solid in doctrine, but rotten as hell inside of them. And they're preaching, but they ain't tasting what they're preaching. And that kind of bothered me. And I want to bring you a message on Christian experience, or experiencing the gospel. When I was a little barefooted boy a long time ago, they wouldn't let you join the church unless you could give an experience of grace. And those old gray-bearded fellows would be sitting there, long white beard, and they'd head it out like a rye, sit down and listen. Say, wait a minute, son, I believe you've been shot a curve. You run off before you got done. Said, we better have private with you and read some and explain it to you. Whether it were too hard or not, in our section, you don't have to be baptized, just send your picture and they baptize that. Don't I have to have a Christian experience at all. I was preaching the other day in one of the churches, and three students from a certain university walked down, grabbed a hold of me, said, you don't believe in the rapture. I said, yes, I do, and I believe in the rapture too, and I believe you folks go on the rapture. They are two little old upstart, goober-headed preachers who walk down and attacked an old gray-headed soldier at the cross like that. I said, you fellas ought to go off somewhere and sit down and cool off, and God might tell you something. Well, said, when's the Lord coming? I said, I don't know. He made out his program 2,000 years ago and didn't put me on. I don't know. I know he's coming. I know how he's coming. And I know why he's coming, but I don't know when. Well, we believe he's coming for the tribulation. I said, that's all right with me. Some of you little Blue John Jackwater birds couldn't stand the tribulation. God to help take you out, because you're not strong enough standing. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that tribulation is designed for God to develop some men and women to take over this situation. We haven't got them now. Experiencing the gospel. In Romans chapter 5, I said, Lord, if you don't stop that man, he's going to run my assignment. Just stomp it up and down here. He said, well, that chapter's big enough for both of you to read that. Romans chapter 5, I want to read a few verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. That's sort of rough on these pre-tribulationist boys, and you may be here. That's sort of rough on you. You ought to rejoice in tribulation. Abel got killed in it. The Old Testament saints, many of them, got killed in tribulation. Paul said we enter into the kingdom through great tribulation, much tribulation. Tribulation will make you or break you, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. You got an experience, have you? And experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. You notice in verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. I think that's speaking of the character, the people for whom Christ died. But you may differ, and that's all right. In verse 8, we're called sinners. And in verse 10, said we're enemies. Ungodly, sinners, enemies. Isn't that awful? Enemies. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by what? Not by his death. You're reconciled by his death, but we're saved by his life. And it's not the life that he lived in the days of his flesh. It's that he life that was given him when he rose from the dead, caught God's elevator and went back to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. I believe he's there now. I believe he's going to stay there till the restitution of all things. I believe he's going to reign until all enemies are put under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I'm asking a few questions this morning, and if you'll bear with me, we'll just move right straight forward with deliberate speed. And I hope I don't get surprised till I run off and leave you, but I want you to stay with me. Let us move. Question number one, what is the meaning of experience? Romans 5:4, Paul speaks of experience. And it's not a spurious experience. It's a real experience that comes out of the gospel. And as our brother so ably preached to us, the purpose and the spirit of the gospel. What is the meaning of experience? It means to see. Brethren, we need to see something. Isaiah saw the Lord, then he saw himself. And he saw his living and had a congregation of people as bad shape as he was. And he cried to God, and there was something happened. We need to see something. Moses saw him who is invisible. Now don't be fool enough to try to explain that. How can you see what you can't see? I don't know. How are you going to see what's invisible? But he did. He saw him who was invisible. That's bound to affect you. Second, the word experience means to feel. Well, I'm not going by feeling. Well, I'm not either. But I like to feel something every once in a while. There's two ways you get knowledge, especially about electricity. You can study it in a textbook and read it, and electricity is something that harnessed energy and fired you upon you. You get that knowledge from the book. But if you ever grab a hold of an electric wire, you got another kind of knowledge. You felt something. Third, that word experience means to know. And there's two ways of knowing something. You can know mentally, and you can know experimentally. Fourth, it means proof. And fifth, it means testing. And sixth, it means to learn from experience. There's a lot of things you can't get no other way. learned by experience. These almost 50 years in the ministry, I've learned a lot of things by experience. I tell my fellow preachers, I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you what not to do. I've tried it, it won't work. I also tell them that I can't make any more mistakes. Otherwise, I've done made them all. When you make them all, I'd be a fool to make the same one over and over. Yeah, ought to learn something. In the next place, that word experience means wisdom gained from what one has observed in the course of time. Sometime back, Dr. Johnson given an exposition on sanctification. And in that statement, he said, the greatest evidence in the world that God is in your soul is progressive sanctification. That set me apart. I said, glory to God, the Lamb forever. That's so. Progressive sanctification. You and I ought to be better today than we were yesterday, unless we backslid. Genesis chapter 30, verse 27. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. God blessed old Pharaoh, that devil in shoe leather, because of Joseph. Don't tell me that thing, so Christians. If God wants to bless an old wicked man, I guess he could, and blessing his young along with the sight of it. And he said, I have learned by experience. Philippians 4:11, Paul said, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. No, we preachers need to do that. Well, I've got a little church. Well, you know why it's a little? Because you're a little preacher. My God, if you be what you ought to be, you make it a big church, though it might not be more than 25, 30 members. Jesus Christ started out with 12, and he took them and lifted the empires off their hinges. Noah just had 8 members of his church, he and his wife, the two of them. But he was faithful to that little family of faith, and he preached, and he was a failure as an evangelist, preaching 120 years without a single convert. But we ought to learn whatsoever state we're in, therewith to be content. Worst thing ever happened to a preacher is to look at the other man's field. His grace is greater than yours, of course. And if you're not careful, you'd be like an old buzzard waiting for him to die so you can take over. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? Undertaker might get you first. Question number 2. Why we need a Christian experience. Now, you preach the gospel, you ever heard it, and that's wonderful. But you need to experience this gospel. Dear lady came to me the other day and said, Mr. Caldwell, I've gone through the book of Romans. I said, that's wonderful, now let it go through you. Ladies and gentlemen, fellow citizens and fellow travelers, pilgrims, strangers, and sojourners, you and I need to experience this gospel. It's to be experienced, or you go to hell as a dead, rotten Calvinist. Isn't that so? Awful quiet in here. Why we need a Christian experience. first to establish us. Now there is an establishment that comes to the Scriptures, to be sure. But you and I need to have this gospel experience. Are you listening? As I know, the Apostle Paul was solid in doctrine, as all of the old scribes and Pharisees were. I do not find where they were ever in error, doctrinally speaking. They believed in election, sure. They believed in predestination, sure. They believed in the Bible, sure. So did Paul. But on the Damascus road, they had a head-on collision with Jesus Christ, and out of that, he experienced something. He never changed a bit of his theology, didn't have to. He was an Old Testament rabbi, student of the Old Testament scriptures. Philippians tells us that he never changed nothing but masters. He swapped the devil off for Jesus and didn't have to pay any good. Are you listening? So far as I can find, this man was solid in theology, but he needed experience, and he got that experience. My professor at Furman University said Paul had an epileptic fit on the road that day. I said, oh, would to God some of you professors have a fit. If it'll do for you what it did for him, that fit changes nature, changes course. But it goes on. Said, Lord, what do you have me to do? Keep going where you started. But you're a changed man. Yeah. He had an experience and a change when he saw Jesus Christ. Yeah. A little bit later, he had an experience. So hold that right there. Don't let it get away now. Don't let the Pentecostalists run us from out in the woods of the rest of the peck of woods. Bless God, let's come back and see that this gospel is to be experienced. There is an experience that you need to have. But don't talk about it. Paul never did talk about his experience. Never said a thing in the world about being filled with the Spirit, but he spent all of his time talking about he saw Jesus. But he had an experience too. 3 days later, this man was filled with the Holy Ghost and arose and was baptized. We need a Christian experience to establish that. Second, to comfort us when you're wading through the valley of the shadow of death. When you're fighting the hill by the acres, there'll be a time when you need to know that you know what you know. Yeah. Now then you can't face the far-right furnace with all this little shindig and stuff we've got today. And you can't face the lion's den with a little super-duper profession. You better know that you know that you know. Yeah. And have a faith that will paralyze the old lion. Dinah just looked him in the face. My God, they couldn't bite. I have a sermon I preach sometimes on my brother, not what you think, on three Baptist preachers, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. They wouldn't bend and they wouldn't burn. God, they knew something. I want you to know now, if you don't know what you know, when you come to face the furnace of fire, you go back down. Well, especially when it's heated 7 times hotter than it ought to be. Yes. Hear the old lions roar. That bunch of heathen sitting in the grandstand watching the lions pounce down on the poor Christians. In the third place, we need a Christian experience to fortify us. You need an inward fortitude as well as outward. In the next place, we need a Christian experience to encourage us. We need a Christian experience to strengthen us. We need a Christian experience to give us assurance. Pardon me for referring to Brother Johnson so much. He didn't ask me to do that, and he said he wasn't run for anything. He'd done elected, so I'm not gaining the votes for him. But he gave us what they call an infallible assurance. I read that thing and I read it, and I said, God, so far as I know, I've got it, and it's got me. In it, he stated about apostolic truth laying a hold of your soul. Paul said, something's got me. Something's got me. Christ laid a hold of him in apostolic truth. In the next place, we need a Christian experience to give us great boldness. Now, brethren, listen. Regardless of what your views about the tribulation is, I have mine. You couldn't change me, and I guess I couldn't change you. I'm not going to try to get more sense than that. But, ladies and gentlemen, we may be facing more far than you know. And unless we can get this church membership today to have a real experience with God, and the test of that experience is, did it put your feet on the ground, your head in heaven? If it did, I said, it's all right. That's what Elisha wanted, a double portion of the Spirit. One experience to put his feet on the ground, that's theology. And the other to put your head in heaven, so my theology and guidance can be connected together. You can't follow a man with his God on his feet on the ground unless he's got his head in heaven. You couldn't follow that man. And I've run into some fellows that had their head in the head but didn't have feet on the ground. You can't follow that man. We need a Christian experience to give us boldness. Acts chapter 4. There's a couple of preachers put in jail for preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they threatened them and turned them out of jail. Said, don't you speak no more in the name of Jesus. What was their answer? And on the day of Pentecost, they had an experience. I believe there were saved men before that. But on the day of Pentecost, they had an experience that put their feet on the ground, their head in heaven, and they could face the jail, they could face hell by the acres, and move on. Come out of jail, don't you preach anymore. What was their answer? Acts 4:20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Here, two preachers saw something, they felt something, and is able to talk about it. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We saw him in the days of his flesh. We heard the groans of Calvary. And we saw him after he got up from the dead. And we saw him as he left this earth in a blaze of glory. And he said, goodbye. I'll see you in the morning. Then the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost as infallible assurance that that was the real Messiah. That he'd sat down in heaven at God's right hand as prophet, priest, and king, and mediator, and judge. And it's that the Spirit of Jesus come, got on the inside of us. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I may be facing more than we know. Our government may soon fall. I'm not predicting that, I hope it doesn't. But it may soon fall. May not be long till we'll have the United States of Europe. May not be long till the Antichrist will come on the scene. And when it does, it's worship him or die. Take his mark or star. How many of you think can face that right now? Let's be honest. You can't unless you've experienced this gospel. There's another reason why we need a Christian experience, our experience in the gospel. That's to give us proof of our election of God. Now, the old Jew believed in election, but killed the Christ of election. You don't think he believed in election? You haven't read the four Gospels. Sure he did. But we're doing today exactly what the old scribes and Pharisees did. They brought down Abraham and killed old John the Baptist. They brought down Moses and killed Jesus. Talk about zeal. But Jesus said, you but false prophets would cover sea and land to make one proselyte. Why, we're not 10 miles of those covers. You compass sea and land to make one proselyte. You talk about evangelism. But it said, when you get it done, you made him the twofold more child of hell than yourself. You're going to hell and all your converts going to hell with you. And they believed in election. Now, if you don't believe they did, talk to Brother Johnson. He's reading the four Gospels. You're too lazy to read it. They did believe in election. They believed in the security of the believer. We are Abraham's seed. And we can't go to hell. But in Luke 16, one of them did land in hell. He still trained Abraham. You listening? Rich man who went to hell was as solid in doctrine as he could be. But he refused to hear Moses and the prophets. That's the law and the gospel. That's one thing gets up in your head, nothing in your heart. We need a Christian experience to give us proof of our election of God. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, how can I make it sure? Well, if you study the first chapter, he tells you there's a gospel ladder, and do you well to climb it. And it'd be difficult if you climb that ladder unless you had the goods. Make your election sure. For if you do these things, he shall never fall. See? I was in Atlanta, Georgia, preaching the other day. A fellow minister of mine said, Mr. Caldwell, you believe in election? I said, sure do. He said, I do too. Well, I said, fine, we won't have no conflict there. Well, they said, suppose the elect don't repent. I said, God send them to hell. How can that be? I just don't know what it'll be. Oh, yeah. Luke 13:5, Christ said, repent or perish. He did say that. Now, I believe he will repent. But I had to answer him according to who he was. That shook the devil out of that man. He'd gone to seed on election. And you can do that. All right to go to seed if you've got seed corn, but a nubbin going to seed is bad. Question number 3. We got along pretty well so far, haven't we? As I can see, I don't anticipate much antagonism. Question number 3. What is a Christian experience? What is it anyhow? If I've got to have it to go to hell, I want to find out what it is, don't you? Now, you can be a Calvinist and go to hell. You can be a Baptist and go to hell. You can believe in eternal security and make categories for it into hell. But are you listening? Listen now. What is the Christian experience? Abraham had 7 experiences. And I want to give you 7. I've experienced some of them. Some of them must get out something. First, in regeneration, we have a change. There is no experience in regeneration. Now, you may differ. Don't pull a shade down on me. Just share this, old man, and listen to me. In regeneration, we have a change. Regeneration is never described, just proclaimed. In regeneration, we have a change. You pass out of darkness into light. You pass out of bondage into liberty. You pass out of death into life. speak. By this we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were in a dark room, you cut the light on, you wouldn't feel nothing, would you? But you know there's something happened. There's a change, see? And it's a radical change. It's a saving change. There's a change. John chapter 9, a blind man with his eyes full of mud, told him to go to the pool of Siloam, and he got his sight. He run into a bunch of theologians, they like kill that fella. They want him to explain it, and he could. And you can't do that. You're a fool if you try it. I know something happened. Whereas I hated God, now I love it. Whereas I had no interest in the Word of God, now I love the Word of God. But there's just a change, you see. God took out your old stony heart and gave you a heart of flesh. Took that mean, wicked spirit and gave you the Holy Spirit. John chapter 9 said, explains that I came. He told a story, and they said, whereas I was blind, now I see. You feel anything? He said, no, I just got my sight. I'm seeing. And they turned him out of the synagogue because of that. Jesus run down a little bit later and had another experience. He had one that brought him into a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. He said, I first saw him as a man. Then I saw him as a prophet. And now he revealed himself to me as the Son of God. And they said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He said, I would if I knew who he was. This is he that's talking with you now. And he closed in. That's in the book, isn't it? In the second place, what is a Christian experience? In the filling of the Spirit, we have an experience. And that experience is described. Have an experience. In regeneration is salvation. In the filling of the Spirit is service. But brings with it an experience. In justification we have peace. But you don't feel it. But you just got peace. See? And the peace that Jesus gives cannot be disturbed nor destroyed. You like that? Oh, you might be disturbed with some heretic somewhere, but not long. The Christ of God will quell that storm and you'll land safely. In sanctification, we have a position taken out of the world and put in Christ. In manifestation, we have a confirmation. God wants to confirm this word. And you and I need that every once in a while. In glorification, we have a beauty. I haven't experienced that yet. I long for it. He's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. One altogether lovely. In glorification, we'll have a beauty. In the new heavens and the new earth, we'll have a dwelling place. Please. We have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. Job chapter 38 said the sons of God, whoever they were, they saw the sun, moon, and stars, and the south planet they saw created, and said they shouted, glory to God. They saw creation for the first time, and they shouted glory when they saw the planetary system. What you and I feel like when we see the new heavens and the new earth. Oh, my God, out Sunday, in God's great tomorrow, we'll see the new heavens and the new earth. That'll bring an experience. Bring a feeling too, I guess. Question number 4, and I'll let you go home and sleep if you can. What will we find in the new heavens and the new earth? Well, how about the millennium? I'm afraid my view of that, yours might not be just exactly the same. All right. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create, bring into existence something that's never been before. I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, she sure not that now, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem. And I believe Jerusalem is the Lord's people. That new Jerusalem, the holy city, the church universal, is coming down and become the capital of the new heavens and new earth. Nigh heaven, nigh thee. Maybe you've never shouted, but you may shout then. What will we find in the new heavens and new earth? Be a land of no terrors. God will wipe them all away. Land of no death. Land of no sorrow. Land of no separation. A land of peace and tranquility. A land where we'll ever be with our loved ones. A land where we will ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Some of my premillennial friends in Greenville say, then we're going to heaven for 7 years. I said, that's all right. We're going to be with him. That'll do me. Whether it goes to heaven or comes here, wherever it goes, we're going to be with him. I said, what right have you got to say where we're going? Didn't say. Said, for so shall we ever be with the Lord. Brother, wouldn't it be good not to run by the scriptures and see what's there? Amen. If you're with Jesus, God wouldn't make you happy going to heaven, wouldn't? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Are you listening? If being with Christ don't satisfy you, you better get on your asbestos britches because you're going to hell. Now, brethren, you just well listen to this overhead, man. I have my own way of preaching. I tried to preach like Ralph Barnard, got my feet in my mouth, and I got no shape in the world. I can be B.B. Caldwell, I can't be W. Johnson, I wish I could, but I can't. All I can do is just be myself. That's what I'm trying to do. In the next place, in the final place, it'll be a land where we'll never grow old. I like that. I didn't used to think too much about age. First began preaching. And let me close out by giving you three things about preaching. There's preaching for the thrill of preaching. Most of us start out that way, but that's a rotten as hell. Preaching for the thrill of preaching. That's fight a hell with the ache of that thrill will soon wear off. Second is preaching to get men saved, and that's as rotten as hell. Only one right motive for preaching, and preaching for the glory of God. Amen. If you preach for the glory of God, amen, the Lord will take care of the matter of salvation. Amen. As God should have. If Noah's preaching for the thrill of preaching, I have a night about 25 years and knocked that thrill off. If he's preaching to get men converted, he died of the failure. Now you all won't see men converted, but don't preach for that. If you do, you commercialize the ministry as certain as God's in heaven. And if you don't have a mourner's bench and an altar call and an invitation system and a healing line, you get you one. Let us preach for the glory of God. And when we do, have an idea, somebody will experience the gospel. Amen. Amen.